You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome back to the program. A lot happening here as we move forward. Already had Jesse Simonton on from On 3. Let's get back to the calls here. And Eddie in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Eddie.
Hey Paul, look, I had something real personal. I wasn't going to take up much time. But today is my 75th wedding anniversary.
75. Now, this is to how many different women?
Well, that's another story.
Hold on a second. 75 years. So that would be, what, 1949?
Nine.
I'm really good in math, Eddie.
Well, it's really... Well, it's the oldest joke in the world, Paul, but people say, how do you do it? And I say, we go out twice a night to eat. She goes Monday and I go Friday, you know. But Paul, what I really want to talk about...
Well, by the way, congratulations to both of you. I don't know if I've met Mrs. Conyers before, have I? I don't think so.
No. She would definitely remember it.
Yeah, I do worry about that, though. Of all the times I've been with you, you've never introduced me to your wife, which tells me that you don't want her to know you know me.
That's true.
I think I met your daughter or son. I can't remember which.
We all think they're well. Particularly, they all live in Birmingham, and we've been.
Yeah, he. The last time I saw him, he gave me $5 if I would walk over and say hello to you.
Well, I'm on the NIL, so I get a little bit more than that. But hey, we mentioned in the ball players a while ago. Great basketball players. The name Cliff Hagan came.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Years ago, Paul, at Foster Auditorium in Tuscaloosa. I had a friend who lived at an apartment in Foster Auditorium. So whenever there was a big game, I would go to his place and he would let me in. And it was right next to the visitor's dressing room. Well, at the half, Alabama was up by about 10 points because they were playing awful. And I never forget Coach Rupp. He went up to Cliff Hagan and he called him Clifford. He said, Clifford, when we go back on that court, at second half, Alabama had a big A right in the middle of the court. He said, I want you to go right in the middle of that big A, and I want you to pull your pants down and do a physical act. He said, I want you to be able to say you did something on this floor.
That is funny. I was in there
and heard that. I got caught in that room and couldn't get out. And I had to, I was in one room, but I could hear them in the other room. But anyway, that was, to me, interesting. And I sure appreciate
your
time.
Hey, do you believe all those stories about how Coach Rupp and Coach Bryant were good friends?
they were both very dominant coaches, of course, but I think they had a difference of opinion on certain things.
I've always thought that too. But when you go up to Kentucky, they try to everybody. Coach Bryant loved Coach Rupp, and they were big buddies after he left, of course. But I don't know.
Well, Coach Bryant told me I applied one time for the SEC when Cliff Harper was the top man. You may remember him.
I remember Cliff.
He and I were distant kin, and he asked me to apply to the SEC football. I had to get three recommendations, and Coach Bryant was one of them. And when I went out to pick it up, he said, now this is for football. And then I said, yes. And he said, don't ever call basketball. Said, you don't call any game where the fans can reach out and touch you. He said, stay away from that kind of game.
That is funny.
Well, Paul, I appreciate your time.
And hey, Eddie, congratulations. And let me, I apologize for not having sent a gift, but you've heard this before, but the check is in the mail.
Alexis would be nice.
Well,
Paul, you've done enough. Again. I've enjoyed our time together, and I appreciate
Eddie,
your time.
Thank you. Thank Eddie, you so Eddie Conyers, I saw Eddie about a month ago. I was in Birmingham at a banquet, and he was being honored. I was up on the podium with him, and he was just amazing. And he's 95 years old. I don't know why I say that, considering I just turned 93. But I'm trying to make it to 95. Ed is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Paul. Listen, I've had something that's been on my mind all season long, football season. And that's all this dancing and staring on in the end zone that used to be against the rule. You get a flag thrown for unsportsmanlike conduct. What happened to that? Why did they quit calling that, or do you know?
I think they do call it if it's excessive. I just think it depends on, it's a judgment call. I saw it a couple times this year.
I don't think I've seen anything more excessive than Maryland's bowl game. They were absolutely the worst sportsmanship that they put on that field I've seen in a long time.
And what game was that, Eddie?
They exhibited the worst sportsmanship of any I've seen in a long time. That's the Maryland team.
Oh, okay.
Besides all the dancing and everything, they did the throat slashing. They had late hits. They were mouthing off to the other team constantly. And they even mouthed off at the officials two or three times that I saw.
I watched a couple of minutes of that game. I was watching the Orange Bowl at the same time, and as Auburn got continually destroyed, I gave up on it. I'll ask some people about that. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Let's check in with Clinton in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Clinton. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Just a quick question about Tennessee basketball. Were you at that 77 game when went to three overtimes against Alabama? I'm a Bama fan, by the way.
Yeah, that's the game in Tuscaloosa.
It was in Tuscaloosa.
I can't remember.
Sure
I thought it was in Tuscaloosa.
I can't remember where it was, but it was.
I believe it was in Tuscaloosa. Now, I'm trying to remember. Did Alabama win that game?
No.
Tennessee won.
And Ernie Grunfeld and.
Yeah,
Bernard
no, I was
King,
at the game.
But,
I do remember it now.
Okay.
They had Mule
on Bernard King, but I don't think he could handle it. So they put T.R. Dunn, which could play.
Oh, no, you're right. That game was at Stokely. You're right. I do remember that game. That was one of the biggest games I've ever been to at Tennessee.
Minus Leon Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leon Douglas could not do anything in that game, could he?
Well, no. That was the year after he left.
Okay. I think it was the year before when Ray Mears completely took Leon out of the game.
Yeah, well, the year before, right.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, I was just wondering if you went to that game.
I was at that
game,
yes. It's interesting, Clinton. Back then, I was a school sports writer. You would miss a football game before you would miss a basketball game.
Man, I tell you what, those were the good old days.
Oh, no, it was, there was one game against Kentucky that the students, I think, camped out for 3 days.
Uh-huh. And Johnny Darden, that guy was a pretty good Johnny, guard to go along with
Grunfeld,
too.
I had a couple of classes with Johnny and knew him well.
Yeah, very
good guy.
Johnny did a lot better in school
thanks to being in the class with me.
Right. Well, anyway, thanks so much.
Thank you. I shouldn't have said that because there's going to be somebody at the University of Tennessee that opens a student conduct investigation into my tenure there, and they're going to take away my degree because I said that. It is too late. You're right. I helped them after class. Don is up next in Alabama. Hello, Don.
Hey, Paul. Listen, I got one question for you. And I listen to you all the time. I'm a huge Michigan fan, but I know you've wore different hats from time to time, the Bulldogs, all the other hats and everything. If I was to ask you and you had to pick, and you had to pick today, what would you do if you were the head guy to change or modify the NIL or the transfer portal?
Well, I wouldn't waste time on the NIL. I think the issue is the transfer portal.
I'll go ahead and hang up and listen.
Yeah, thank you. No, I think what you have to do is you can't completely do away with it because I am in favor of it. I believe that there has to be a limit, though. You just can't let players transfer at will. And I think everybody should get one free transfer, which is the case now. And after that, I think there ought to be some jurisdiction, because otherwise you just, and what we're, I as much as people hate what we're going through at Alabama right now, I think that's fair. If a coach leaves, why can't, if you signed, I know everybody wants to say, well, he signed with the player, he signed with the university. That's not really the way it is. We'll take a break, talk more about that in just a minute. We're back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. We'll talk about Florida's latest problems in just a moment. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother. How you doing, man? Look, I just want to tell you every time I called in a couple of days, just, man, I've been dealing with a lot of things. And the reason why I've been dealing with it, the government did a test on me in the state of Texas that determined I can't live my own, my memory, because I can't read from medicine, I can't handle money, and somebody has to stay with me, and I have to retake the test to change their mind. Mm-hmm. It's been causing me a lot of stress with my family, been fighting and arguing about this. Like, I love you guys a lot. I love you always being there for me. Augie, Legend, it's just Mitch, Trey, William. I love you guys a lot, man. It's just, I'm dealing with that, and I'm hoping my friend Crystal will become a roommate with me. I'm trying to explain to my family, this lifestyle is not for everybody. It's not for me. And I got an anger and hatred and bitter to her husband. And I wanted you to know they're going to do a consultation about the surgery. Then we're going to go from there to get the surgery done, see what's going on with me. But I wanted you to know all this, and I love what we're doing with our football team, with Mike Elko. I love the things he's doing with it. And Buzz Williams, I just wanted you guys to know this, man. I feel dead inside, and I feel hollow a lot lately. And I wanted you all to know this, man. I love you guys a lot. I love you like brothers, and I just been really messed up in the head lately, man.
Matt, listen, you stay close. We are thinking of you, and you know where we are.
I know, man. All right, I'll catch you guys later. What do you think about Buzz winning the basketball team before I go?
I like,
you like what they're
lot.
Doing with the teams?
I think he's a really top-notch coach. Matt, listen, I know you're talking to some friends of ours, and you know mm-hmm. who I'm talking about. If you need anything, you let them know immediately, okay?
I will. Okay. I'm never going to do anything stupid or hurt myself. I'm just trying to deal with a lot of things, man.
Okay, you be well, Matt. Well, stay in touch. Thank you very, very much. Hal is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Hal.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a Pete Maravich story to tell you. I've told you before, but I don't know if you remember. But me and a buddy, we were, LSU was playing Mississippi State in Starkville. And we were staying at the Holiday Inn, and so was LSU. And anyway, we're sitting in the restaurant. We look over, and we see these guys in blazers. And there are four LSU players, and one of them was Pistol Pete. Well, they get through eating, and we follow them back to their room. And it took a while to get the nerve up to knock on the door. Finally, we did, and whoever came to the door and said, you know, we wanted to get Pete Maravich's autograph. And they said, well, come on in. And they were playing cards. And so they said, why don't y'all sit down and play cards with us? This is a 9-year-old and 11-year-old. And said, okay. And finally, he said, what do y'all want to play? I knew nothing. Of course, it's no electronic games, no Atari. It's before Pong. And so anyway, my buddy, we sit there for a second. He said, go fish. And he said, okay. They dealt the cards, and we sat there and played cards for about 30 minutes, and they acted like they didn't have anything else to do. That always, of just thinking back of how big a star he was, and to take time out and food with two little old kids, just amazes me.
That is a remarkable story, Hal. Thank you for sharing. You be well. Well, let's check in with Jay, who is in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Roll Tide, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I haven't been calling in a whole lot lately. I'm taking this strong chemo again, and it's really kicking my butt. I've been listening. Okay. But
how much longer are you taking it?
Oh man, indefinitely probably.
Okay.
They're gonna actually. I got good news about the one in my colon, because now they can. They're gonna go in and pull it out. At first, that wasn't even an option.
Right.
But now they're going to go in and pull that out. Well, then we found out the one in my liver's done grown. Mm. So they're having to put me back on the strong chemo, and it's whooping me.
Wow.
But anyway, Paul, I'm hanging in there. I ain't going nowhere yet. I hope not. But, Paul, I want to talk about NIL.
Okay.
It just kills me how there's just no loyalty anymore. I mean, most of these kids, they're all about the dollar now. It's like these teams put so much into these young men, like, you know, spending time with their mom and doing dances, line dances with their family, you know. Mm-hmm. It's terrible.
Well, it's certainly a problem, Jay. Listen, you continue to stay in touch, and we're thinking of you, and thank you very, very much for the call. Mike is up next in Toledo. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, sir. I got just a question. Okay. When will the SEC go to 9 conference games? Because the Big Ten has gone the last few years to 9 conference games.
Well, I think it's a legitimately great question, and I don't have the answer. I thought for sure it would be approved this year, but I have not heard a single thing about it. So we'll know soon.
I mean, I'm looking at the Big Ten. They're going to hold two teams, like Ohio State can play Michigan and somebody else, and then it goes from there. But is that going to be a problem when they have the 12-team playoff, you only could have the Big Ten and the SEC, maybe possibly the Big 12 in the 12-team playoff?
Well, I mean, frankly, at this point in college football, there really aren't any other leagues other than the Big Ten and the SEC. They matter about 90%, and there's really, I don't see the ACC being a significant factor, and the Big 12 is a little bit hard to wrap your arms around. Thank you for the call. Well, find out what's happening at the University of Florida. A story coming from Matt Baker the other day about an NCAA investigation. Could this be a problem, or is it just simply a bump in the road?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is the headline that emanated from Matt Baker's piece down in Tampa, NCAA investigating Gators for Jaden Rashada recruitment. Matt covers University of Florida, and often we talk about what's on the football team. This is a different situation. Matt, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your reporting. Take us through what you learned the other day and what it all means. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. Honestly, we didn't learn a whole lot just because this has been something that's kind of been percolating in the background, kind of an open secret around Gainesville that has been happening. But it still is important that we can acknowledge the fact that the Gators are under investigation. Now, I was working on this for quite some time, submitted an open records request to UF that was denied. We had to get our attorneys involved. And 3.5 months later, we can now say with definition that this investigation is happening. So I still don't know quite, where in the process it is, what, where this is all going to end up. There's not a whole lot of that for me to say right now, but it is still important to know that this was a high profile case that blew up about a year ago at this time. And now we know that the NCAA is at least looking into it.
I mean, Rashad is gone. And Matt, you may not be able to answer this, but other than maybe give us a supposition, but does that mitigate the fact that these are more or less serious than they would have been had he signed and stayed there?
I'm not sure that it really matters. Maybe it matters a little bit, but let's suppose here and kind of take a reasonable view of the facts as we know them. Let's suppose there were some recruiting inducements and that whole, eight-figure name, image, and likeness deal. But maybe there was something to do it involving being on the football team, or that's the way it could be interpreted. Or maybe there was some involvement from the football program. I'm not saying there is, but let's go down this rabbit hole. Then I think the fact that there would have been inducements there was enough to make it happen. This still is an evolving space, and a lot we still don't know about what's happening and how the NCAA is going to look at it. But there is at least one comp that we can show, and that was the Florida State one that dropped a couple weeks ago, where Florida State, there's an offensive line coach, Alex Atkins, who drove a recruit from the portal to a meeting with a booster who was the head of a collective. And, the guy didn't sign. According to the NCAA, there was no NIL deal, no money changing hands. But Florida State was still in trouble with level two violations, and the assistant coach got a 3-game suspension. So that's at least some sort of, I don't know if it's a precedent exactly. The NCAA would probably say it's not, but that's at least some sort of comp we can make to answer your question in terms of, does it matter that Rashad is, gone?
Well, it's a good answer. And I guess I'm really trying to get to the whole regime of Billy Napier because it's a separate issue, but not much has really gone well. And I know they ended up with a highfalutin recruit, a quarterback recruit this cycle. But let's talk a bigger picture here. Scott Cirkland has made some comments recently. fans are making their comments. Media don't know really what to make out of it all. Give us the state of the Florida football program report.
Well, I can't tell you that it's good because it's not. You know, Billy Napier is 11-14, and this is the worst the program's been since just after World War II. And that's not hyperbole. That's just fact when you look at the wins and the losses. When you look at it's hard for me to tell you that the program's going in the right direction. There's nothing I can point to say that it is. The recruiting class, this 24 class, was supposed to be the bell of the ball and elite and what have you, and it crumbled. It fell apart. It's a good recruiting class, and it got better today with Jameer Grimsley transferring from Alabama, but it's still not a great premier elite recruiting class that it was supposed to be. So it hasn't gotten better on the field. Recruiting is about the same. There's not a lot I can point to tell you that this is why it's getting better. And this NCAA investigation is part of that as well. And where a lot of readers and a lot of Gator fans are going is the possibility that this could be the for cause that Florida would use down the line to potentially try and get rid of Billy Napier if this goes south. And that's a whole different situation. But the fact is, on the field in recruiting, there's not a lot I can point to say that this is definitely working out, which is why this year three is so pivotal.
Well, let's talk about what Strickland said recently. And I realize Strickland is tied to Billy Napier, and I'm not really sure what else you can say when you are that close to the guy. Napier replaced the guy that Strickland brought in and had to fire. What has Strickland said, and what does it mean?
Yeah, Strickland told the Orlando Sentinel the other day that Billy's not on the hot seat. What even is a hot seat? And all that stuff is fine and dandy, and I think it's true. But your other point is I think, spot on, that what else is he going to say? Oh, yeah, he's on the hot seat. If he doesn't win 9 games, he's out. Nobody does that. That doesn't happen. And let's be honest about this as well. If there's a scenario where the Gators go 4-8 or something like that this year, let's say they have a really rough year. Well, then it might not matter that Scott Strickland thinks Billy Napier should be safe, because realistically, the way these things work, if it's not working well, then the athletic director goes and the head coach goes after that. That's kind of a standard operating procedure. Again, that's not to say that's what will happen, but if things go really bad, then Strickland might not be the one who has the say at the end of it. That's not a crazy thing to kind of speculate on.
And I don't know the power structure down there. Usually you think about the AD who reports to somebody in the president's office, if not the president. You have a relatively new president, Ben Sasse, many remember. Interesting, maybe occasionally eclectic senator from Nebraska, didn't always follow his party, didn't always follow the norms. He's now the president. It's still, the University of Florida is still one of the top schools in the country. I think it's the highest ranked public institution in the rankings, whatever that means. Give us the power structure, the lay of that land down there, and how the decision could evolve.
Yeah, that's the most important thing to remember in all of this. Ben Sasse's predecessor, Kent Fox, he was not a football guy. He was an academic, and that is what he was focused on. And football, yeah, that's great. Let's win, go Gators or whatever. But that wasn't his focus. I don't want to say that as Ben Sasse's focus. I think that's a little extreme. But he does not like ignoring football and basketball and baseball. He is an athletics guy. I mean, there were games this year where he was in the stand selling drinks or whatever it was. When he was senator at Nebraska, he would be selling sandwiches at Memorial Stadium. This is a huge part of his interest, and maybe it's too much to say his identity, but he's involved with this. So I would be absolutely stunned if he wasn't involved in terms of thinking, all right, if this goes south, what do I need to do? Or if this goes well, what do we need to support them? That whole thing where I think there's going to be expectations that he has in mind and to see how this goes. But if there are tough conversations that have to be had this year, I certainly think Ben Sasse is going to be in the middle of them in the way that his predecessor maybe would have delegated more.
Matt, does it help Billy Napier that the expectations have been dumbed down so badly and so low that going 500 would almost seem to be a successful season?
I think maybe it does a little bit, because if he goes 6-6 or 7-5, you can sell some idea of progress if it gets better. And of course, it's obviously going to be, what are the 6 wins or the 7 wins? What are the losses? How bad are they? Do they beat Tennessee or Florida State or LSU or hang with Georgia or something like that? But it's going to be the wins and losses, but there also just needs to be hope. That's the biggest thing, hope that this thing is going to get better. Because I don't think Florida with some of the previous coaches, McElwain and Mullen to a lesser degree, I think they were okay with getting rid of him. It wasn't working, and they didn't have a lot of friends in the building. And I don't think it's that way with Napier at all. I think he's generally well-liked, and people would like to see him succeed. They just have to have reasons to think it's going to work, kind of the way it was with Muschamp getting an extra year in that sense. So there has to be some progress on the field, and there has to be some sort of hope. Maybe it's DJ Lagway going out and struggling early on, the five-star quarterback, and getting better throughout the season to where, you know, the average Gator fan can think, you know what, things weren't great this year, but we got that guy. That guy's going to make it better in the future. So I think there has to be something like that for Florida fans to get excited about going forward, because we haven't seen that through two seasons.
Matt, there was a time we heard from Florida fans all the time, and they were mixed. I don't know, maybe the show is in trouble here, but we don't ever hear from Florida fans anymore. What do you hear from Florida fans when you run into them at games and talk to them?
I think there's a decent amount of apathy. I think you're exactly right. I think there's a lot of, they're looking for a reason to be optimistic, and there's just not a lot of hope right now. So I think I don't want to say they're letting the string play out, because it's not to that point yet. I'm not saying hot seat or anything like that. Let's be very, very clear. But there's not a lot of things that they can point to on how this is getting better. And they feel, you know, I think a lot of them kind of feel like they're stuck, where maybe it is going to be another mediocre year before they can kind of figure a way out of this. I think the apathy that you're seeing, or the indifference, or whatever it is, I think that's, there's a lot of truth to that, especially as what's happened elsewhere in the SEC with Tennessee getting better and Georgia obviously being a power, and, you know, down the road up in Tallahassee with Florida State getting so much better. Florida's just kind of there right now. And that's not a good place to be. You don't want to be there where you feel like you're not really relevant. And that's kind of where the Gators are right now, to be honest.
And I hate to state the obvious, but we're talking about the University of Florida here, which has been traditionally one of the premier programs in college football, let alone the SEC. Matt, many thanks. Great stuff. Great reporting. Matt Baker joining us from Tampa Bay, covers the University of Florida. We are back with more after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tommy Rees, 3 weeks ago today, was calling the final play of the Michigan game. According to Zach Jackson of The Athletic, the Browns are trying to hire Tommy Rees as the tight ends coach. Greg is up next in California. Hello, Greg.
Oh, thank you very much. First-time caller. Long-time viewer.
Thank you
for taking my call. How are you today, sir?
Doing great. Thank you for checking.
Hey, Paul, do you mind if I just take a couple minutes out of your schedule? I just want to just talk about a couple things regarding former Pac-10, Pac-12 football, how things have kind of merged into where they're at today. If I could stand on my totem pole for a second and then hear your constructive criticism or advice or any input, I'd really appreciate that. Just tell me when I can go,
sir. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. you know, when I look back in time and I see the sanctions that took place against USC, and again, I'm calling from California, but I reside here in Los Angeles, California, and our powerhouses are USC and UCLA, which I'll get to in a minute. But USC got hit really hard with regards to sanctions. Carroll took off, a couple other things, again, referencing to Coach Pete Carroll, left USC. Reggie Bush, a few other things fiasco-wise, and yes, we were hit with a lot of, USC was hit with a lot of sanctions. Now, when that took place, I saw a transition where some of the other Pac-10 teams got a little bit stronger, obviously. However, saw that the SEC really started taking more control of NCAA football. This is just my opinion as a former player. I played college football at Oregon State University under Coach Jerry Pettibone. We were not really that good of a team, but you know what? We didn't get any freebies or handouts. We played football because we had the love for the game. If we were given anything, we were lucky to get a sandwich from Togo's, which is a local, you know, like a Subway sandwich shop out here on the West Coast. And you were lucky if you had turkey or maybe cheese on it. And with that being said, and also we were lucky, we had a defensive coach at the time, a defensive line coach named Brady Hoke, and we had a defensive coordinator called by the name of Rocky Long. So overall, with that being said, and thank you for allowing me to share that, sir, what I'm getting to is I saw a transition go to the SEC. And there's a name I'm trying to reference, and I could be wrong, but a name by the Shepard Cooper or something along those lines, Cooper Shepard or something. I believe he was in charge of this infractions committee for the NCAA. And to make a long story short, when we saw the power change, and now, again, I watch SEC football here on the weekends out here and this, during the season. I know the season's over now. However, you know, I'm a fan of SEC football. It's growing on me. And when I was younger, I had true appreciation for Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, things along those lines. But, you know, now I like Georgia football. I like Alabama. I like Florida. I like Kentucky. I like other schools, South Carolina, etc. However, the real strength of NCAA football has transitioned to the SEC. But now we see the Big Ten, Big 12, 16, whatever you're going to call them, now that USC and UCLA, Washington, and Oregon are going to that conference, and they're going to have to play Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State of the world on an annual basis. Do we see ourselves, and again, I guess where I'm getting to, and thank you for letting me stand again on this totem pole, I believe, not conspiracy-wise here, but there was really a lot of ganging up on the Pac-10 and Pac-12 conference. Pac-10 before it became the Pac-12.
Yeah, Greg, let me jump in here before we run out of time. Most of the problems with the Pac-12 are self-inflicted. You had an incompetent commissioner in Larry Scott, and you replaced him with a barely competent commissioner in George Kliaikoff, who turned down league-saving TV deals because he felt like he knew it all, and the league got what it deserved. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Hey,
good
Paul.
Afternoon.
Quickly, just, you know, shout out to Matt, man. You know, hang in there, dude. Things always get better. Paul, I never really talked to you about any of the issues I have, but for a long time I had back issues and, you know, things going on with me, but I grew up with, you know, if you could work, you just kept on going. And during COVID, you know, I was working from home a lot, and things got worse. It got to the point where I couldn't stand up, and I ended up going to the doctor, and I had a very severe case of spinal stenosis. And you know, I had surgery to try to correct it, but unfortunately, you know, since around late 2021, early 2022, I have not been able to stand up, you know, on my own without some kind of assistance. But, you know, you can't, as bad as things are, you can't let it defeat you. You just got to keep hanging there and keep on going. And, you know, that's kind of what I want to say to Matt, you know, and I'm praying for him, you know, I just, I just feel my heart goes out to him.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.